I am Plata on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Opening this Saturday, the 14th of February, 2026, and running until Valentine's Day, 2027, is Every River Has a Mouth. It's a major exhibition at the Bill Reid Gallery on Hornby Street, guest curated by my guest now, Snunemuch artist Elliot White Hill, Kowalsiton, guided by the concept of the Fraser River as a physical and symbolic connector. The exhibit highlights the cultural, linguistic, and artistic relationships between the interior and Coast Salish peoples. The exhibit will feature sculpture, printmaking, textiles, painting, and mixed media. I'll ask Kowalsiton about what's to see at the gallery over the next year and the different forms of art showcased. The work of leading Salish artists such as Susan Point and Angela George will be featured, as well as 11 other established and emerging artists. I'll also ask Kowalsiton about how Salish art has been regarded over the years. There was a time when it was largely marginalized and overlooked, especially when compared to the northern indigenous art of the Haida and Tlingit. Visit BillReidGallery.ca for tickets and information on Every River Has a Mouth, and visit Kowalsiton.com for more. We spoke 3 weeks ago. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Elliot Whitehill. Kowalsiton, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. This exhibit is called Every River Has a Mouth. What does that name? What is the name of the exhibit? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, so the name kind of came to me very early on in the process when Elia and I started working on the show 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it really comes from how in my language, in Hulkaminam, from Snunemuch, our word for language is kun, and it means throat. And so Snunemuch kun is our dialect, and when you think about how our dialect is connected and related to other Coast Salish languages, we're actually more closely related to Fraser River languages and way upriver even, more than we're related to people north and south of us on Vancouver Island. And it just really made me think about how the rivers connect us. And you look at other languages around the Coast Salish world, they flow on the rivers as well. And the culture, these relationships that we have as Salish people flow on the rivers. So that's a little bit about the background of the name.
The other thing I was thinking about as I was preparing for our chat today was how the river itself, you know, is connected to this part of the world. You know, I've grown up in Vancouver. It's always been a part of, you know, my consciousness living here. But there is a relationship with people, say, in the interior as well, where the river goes. And I think we tend to overlook that. I think we tend to think of water as a coastal thing, and you know, which it is, I guess. But I mean, this river in particular has a connection to both physically and symbolically to people outside of the coast, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, the river and the culture, there's a shared connection between us as people from the coast, people from the interior. And the relationship between coast and interior Salish people is something that isn't really examined or talked about often enough. And, you know, there's a lot of differences, but there's also a lot of similarities culturally. In our art, in our languages, and so that's something I really want to honor and celebrate and shed light on with this exhibit, having both coast and interior Salish artists.
Well, one of the other things that I didn't know much about until preparing for our chat today was how Coast Salish art was historically marginalized and overlooked, and it was only very recently, in the 60s and the 1970s, where it did begin to receive recognition. What's that like to say, find out about and learn more about?
Yeah, it's something that, like, even for myself as a Coast Salish person, I wasn't that familiar with this history of Salish art and what it was, you know? Like, I've always identified with Northwest Coast art growing up, and, you know, but as I started to look at it, I learned that there's this very complex history, and that Salish art is its own unique style and voice and visual language. And, it's been historically going back to, like, Franz Boas's first book on Northwest Coast Indigenous art, mm-hmm. in the 1800s. He described Coast Salish art as this primitive, undeveloped art form compared to northern formline styles like Haida and Klinga art, which he saw as more advanced. And this kind of disrespect and erasure of Salish art began from that point, and people didn't want to see our traditional art within our territories. And things like totem poles are not traditional to us, but you see totem poles represented all over the Coast Salish territory, and it's because it's about what people wanted to see and expected to see from Native artists, as opposed to what the truth is.
So this exhibit opening February 14th will feature various media, not just to say sculptures or textiles, printmaking, jackets even. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm really excited because the group of artists in the show, they work across such a wide range of mediums. And, you know, one thing for me is, again, for people to learn something about what Salish art really is and all the different ways that it can be. And so, yeah, there's going to be mixed media sculpture, there's going to be weaving, and then Susan Point, who it's a huge honor to have her in the exhibit. She's one of the people who really started the resurgence of Coast Salish art. She's going to have contemporary wool jackets with her art in the exhibit. And, yeah, just really excited to see how it all comes together.
And it's a good mix, too, of, say, established artists as well as emerging ones, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's at kind of different stages in their career, and it's really meaningful for me to show newer and emerging artists alongside the masters who, like I mentioned with Susan Point, I think every single one of us as Coast Salish artists owes something to Susan Point. Mm-hmm. We've all learned from her. From her career, from her work, and she's someone who's paved the way for us to be able to do what we do.
As an artist and a storyteller, Kowalsatyn, what is it like to be a part of this process of working on an exhibit like this? What does that do for your own practice as an artist and as a storyteller?
Oh, it's really great. It's like for me, all of my art is storytelling, and curation is a little bit newer to me, but I see it the same way as storytelling. It's just a different way to use my voice and to be able to have the privilege to work with all these incredible artists and showcase their work. And, you know, for me, it's less about curating specific artworks and more bringing together these different artists and their voices.
Yeah.
And I really tried to come up with a good prompt to give everybody that they can respond to with the show. And, yeah, it's just been a great experience.
Must be inspiring for your own self as you go back, say, shortly, to do your own work as an artist and storyteller, to have derived some sort of inspiration from all of this, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, just like the seeing the work that everybody does and the ways that everyone is responding to their own culture and visual languages through their own practices. It's really inspiring.
I'd like to ask you about the role of the storyteller, because I've always found that, you know, not just necessary, but so interesting. Do you feel there's a great responsibility on you as you do that work as a storyteller?
Yeah, totally. Like, a lot of my teachings around storytelling come from my late great-grandmother, Dr. Ellen White Colossalwood. And she was a really incredible and knowledgeable storyteller and linguist and healer. And she talked so often about how the storyteller has a real responsibility in telling a story to connect with the audience, and how we maintain our aishqualawin, which means to be of good mind. It's like a state that you have to open yourself and connect with the energy of the world around you. And when you do that, you find that help is there and guidance is there. And it's almost like this intuition. And she talks about how when storytellers are telling a story, each telling of that story is going to be different. It's going to relate to who the audience was, where everybody was at emotionally or spiritually or even just like the ages they were. and the storyteller is going to be responsive to that and tell the story in a certain way that each audience is going to get something, get the most out of it. Almost like a doctor would prescribe medicine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that she talked about it.
Yeah, I can't help but thinking as I'm listening to you how exciting that work is, as well as, you know, obviously having a responsibility to pass it down, you know, from generation to another generation. What are the challenges, though, Kowalsitan, in terms of being the storyteller and having that task of say, passing lessons, information down to the next generation? I mean, you know, I can't help but think, you know, if you know, you said something a moment ago, but each telling of the story is different. I guess, are there certain challenges as a historian, as a storyteller, in terms of say, what might be lost if the art of the storytelling is somewhat lost or diminished, I guess?
Yeah, I think that there's enormous pressure on us to, in the work that we do, to preserve and pass down knowledge and teachings. For me, I really try to focus on approaching it in good faith and in a good way and to the best of my ability, you know, and that trusting in the process, and that if we follow our teachings and the ways that our elders and ancestors passed it down to us, that it's going to happen in a good way, and the result's going to be good, you know, and that I think that's how it kind of is with all the art that we make. We just have to kind of make it, and it's what we receive through the process is our gift to share.
I understand that you've worked with the Bill Reed Gallery before, is that right?
Yeah, I've worked with them quite a bit over the last few years.
Yeah, it must be because of the size of the exhibit. It's a big exhibit as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really exciting. The Bill Reed Gallery is one of the most significant spaces for Northwest Coast art, and it's going to be the feature gallery and the feature exhibit in the main gallery for the whole year. Mm-hmm. Like, it runs for a full calendar year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity for people to go, not just once, right? I mean, to go multiple times, because I don't think, as big as it is, one can get what they need out of it with just one visit, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and they have all sorts of great programming and events going on in the gallery. It's a great spot, especially for people who are just visiting Vancouver for the day or something, yeah, or for a weekend. It's a great spot to check out.
The Fraser River's, I guess, importance, or not importance, but its significance for you. You're in Vancouver today. How often do you, I mean, because we're hearing the foghorns the day that we're talking here in Vancouver. Being close to the water, does that stir any particular feelings when you're there, say?
Yeah, absolutely. It's being on the land is the greatest inspiration for me, and it's different for me as a visitor here in the territories of Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. Even though I'm very related to peoples from these nations, it's a different connection that I have compared to being back home in Snoqualmie.
Mm.
But I'm just always so grateful, and I feel like, you know, when you do that, like I've been describing, of opening yourself and connecting with the world around you, inspiration comes, and you pay attention to who's visiting you, you know, like if certain animals or birds or bugs or different parts of the natural world are there, taking notice of that and spending time with that, you know. It's really, it's important to my art practice.
It's great. It's a great way to look at life in general. Yeah, but Kowalsitan, I've so enjoyed talking to you today. Congratulations on everything, and best wishes with this exhibit. I know that we'll be looking forward to going down to the Bill Reed Gallery between the 14th of February to next year. Thanks for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
The website for more is at billreedgallery.ca, and of course Kowalsitan.com. the exhibit, Every River Has a Mouth, is on at the Bill Reid Gallery in Hornby Street here in Vancouver, Saturday, the 14th of February, right through to Valentine's Day 2027. The guest curator, Elliot White Hill, Kowalsiton, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.